Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices. But making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials. Like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science. It's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the independent republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
More blasted rhetoric from the Banana Republic for people who think capital punishment isn't going nearly far enough.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The independent republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We've reached the end of another tumultuous week on planet Earth. Donald Trump has declared victory in the midterm elections in America despite losing control of the House of Representatives. Prince Charles has declared that he wouldn't act like such a plonker if he actually did become king. And Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab says he had no idea Calais would be such an important part of UK trade. It really does make you wonder if anyone out there knows what is going on. Meanwhile, we're looking at asylum this morning. Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham says the system for housing asylum seekers in this country is worse than useless, and it's on the brink of collapse. More than 26,000 people applied for asylum last year. Are they all getting houses ahead of everyone else? We'll be exploding a few myths and finding out precisely what is going on. 0344 499 1000. I'm joined this morning by fashionista Lynn Coleman, who's just written a book about the perils of social media and why we're all in danger of turning into an algorithm. 0344 499 1000. And because it's Friday, it's time for another sparkling edition of the Perrier Awards, an homage to my broadcasting brilliance this week. I'm sure I'll be winning loads of them. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, and Lynn Coleman on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, this book landed on my desk about, I don't know, a week or so ago, and there's lots of things about it that are unusual, not least the fact that it's kind of written from both ends, if you like.
Yes.
So when did you come up with that idea?
Well, I got halfway through the process, and I really wanted to do a double cover so that there's no front and back.
So there's no front and back, yeah.
Because this year felt so upside down and nobody seemed to be meeting in the middle.
Right.
And so that's what I wanted to have. I wanted the book to then meet in the middle. So right. That when you're reading it, the end was smack bang.
So when you do read it, do you read one side first?
Yes,
or do you read both sides at the same time and try and kind of get to the middle from both ends, as it were?
It's kind of like a cream egg.
Right.
The choice is yours, my friend.
And being Scottish, it's also deep fried, presumably. I do say to people down here, you know, when they go, oh, they deep fry. I say, have you ever tried a deep fried?
It's delicious.
Cream egg. It is amazing.
Everything
remarkable.
Chocolate deep fried is tremendous.
I do draw the line at when I was working in Glasgow for the Scottish Mirror, and we found some kebab shop that was actually doing a deep fried kebab.
That would be good because it'd be crispy and then spicy and salty.
If you could actually survive eating it, that would be something else. But so when did you come up with the idea for the fashion annual? Because like I say, it's a mix of great photography, some beautiful models, some of them in states of undress that I would really quite like
You're
to
shocked.
See. I was quite shocked. Other parts of it are more thoughtful. You know, there's like essays, there's lists, there's, you know, it's a kind of compendium of the year, isn't it?
It's felt a little bit like my diary. So I am in a perpetual state of pregnancy right now. And the last time, which was a year ago, I was sitting on the couch with my very small baby breastfeeding.
Right.
And I was watching the wonderful Attenborough, you know, and I was watching Blue Planet, like the rest of the UK.
Britain's favourite person, apparently.
Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And I was sobbing one night, you know, you're postnatal, and actually, maybe not even, but not even that, just I was devastated by the things that were coming up about plastic pollution. So this is kind of how it all started.
Right.
So sitting on the couch, you know, and cradling this tiny little baby who is feeding from me, And at the exact same time, there is a mother whale who is clinging on to her dead calf because the calf's been killed via toxic plastic pollution poison. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, we've done this. And then, you know, you kind of brush that aside, you go upstairs and you look in the bathroom and there's about 300 bits of plastic in the bathroom. And then you brush that aside again and you go online and you get that anxiety rush of you know, what else is going on in the world. So, you know, Facebook is feeding me this information, Instagram's feeding me that. And I kept seeing things that made me feel like a voyeur, that I wasn't quite...
It's all going on around you.
Yeah, because, you know, you're on maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I've never really taken a step back, honestly. You know, I had my first child is 7 and I worked all the way through with him. And so with Rafe, it felt a lot like standing on the sidelines and going, what is going on?
And when you are a mother as well, you're kind of focused on the child that you have rather opposed to everybody else, aren't
and it's
you?
It's every day. You know, it's every you're stuck in the very moment that you know, there's a nappy needed change, or he needs fed or whatever. You need to eat lunch or you need to go to the toilet. These are all very, very huge priorities.
Sure.
But it meant that when I was viewing what would be normal work, I just couldn't get my head around what was happening and how polarised everybody was.
Yeah.
You know, if you were on the right or if you were on the left, it always felt extreme. There was no middle ground anymore. And particularly for this year, I felt like nobody can have a really sensible discussion without throwing a bizarre insult at someone like, oh, you're a snowflake or you're a Remainer. And then I was kind of thinking...
You're a bigot.
Yeah.
Usually by bigots.
It's just... It was bizarre. So that's where it all started.
Okay.
And I thought, do you know what? I really miss taking pictures. I really miss my creative teams. So I called all my friends and said, do you want to just kind of make a diary? And I'll see if my publisher's up for publishing it. And he was.
Uh-huh.
And so we set about documenting the year.
The year as you see it.
Yeah, but via fashion as the vehicle.
Right.
Because for me, fashion kind of gives you a pinpoint into exactly where we are economically. So in the 20s, you know, you look at the men in the incredible suits and the girls in the flapper outfits, and you know that they are in this jazz exciting time come through World War One, and there's just about to be a crash, and so everything's excessive. And then the same in the 30s, you see these gorgeous cut on the bias dresses that stop at the shin because, again, you're in the middle of war and material is very, very difficult to get hold of.
Right.
Then you can go to the 60s and there's miniskirts, and that walks hand in hand with, you know, the sexual revolution for women.
Liberation.
Yeah. And so for me, clothing has always told me exactly where things are culturally, economically.
Okay.
And so that's what I wanted
to
do.
Well, I'll ask you about where we are now with that, but let's bring in Sherry Scott, who's a blogger and entrepreneur in Scotland, who was part of this project as well. Sherry, very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, indeed, you and I met briefly last year at one of the many fashion shows that Ms. Coleman puts on, and rinsed me of quite a lot of money for a couple of cashmere sweaters. But that's another story.
Thanks for that.
They're very nice, though.
That's about right.
They're very nice. Now, Sherry, you got involved in this. It's called the Algorithm Edition because we're talking about the effect, I suppose, of all of these algorithms that we're surrounded by. I mean, what would your conclusion be about where we are with all of that kind of Twitter madness that we're all engaged in?
Well, with regards to the algorithm, for me, it definitely is all around Instagram. That's my main social media platform that I use. And with the introduction of the algorithm, it is really taken, it's shook up the, like, everybody who uses that platform as a means of, like, you know, earning.
Yeah.
And so it's basically kind of sucking out the fun of just creating and spreading messages and, you know, just trying to connect with people, and made it more into, like, you're combating against a machine and you will never win.
Right.
Like, there is no trick. It's like there's so many, like, you know, clickbait articles of, like, how to beat the algorithm, and it's like, you can't. No one wins.
And Sherry's in the book. The pictures of her are incredible because she's incredible.
I've seen them.
But actually, what we wanted to really address was that, you know, on the face side of that, your shop window is that everything's fine, everything's smiley, and, you know, everything is great. But actually, when you dig a little bit beneath the surface, you can be racked with anxiety, or your day could be going terribly, but you've posted about a great haircut or whatever. And it was that duality, wasn't it? It was the Jekyll and Hyde of where we're at right now, and that's the story we wanted to tell. Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, I mean, is it right to say that everyone on Instagram, because I don't really use Instagram that much, I'm much more of a Twitter person and a little bit of Facebook, but mostly to do with the radio stuff that I do and mostly to do with work. And, you know, people on Twitter seem to be incredibly angry a lot of the time, whereas Instagram, they're all pouting, it seems to me. All the, I mean, even, you know, people who are not famous are trying to look like somebody famous. And is that what they're trying to achieve then? Are they trying to get somebody to sign them up and go, you're good looking, maybe we can make some money with you?
Well, see, I don't even think that it's always about that. It's just about, like, even just creating the perception of this Insta fame. Like, even, like, my stepsister, like, everybody who's still in school, like, it is shocking when you hear these stories that popularity is gauged by your Instagram following. And that goes all the way back to high school. And I heard a conversation on... I was on the tube in Glasgow, and literally these three girls were just chatting. They must have been, well, I mean, they looked 20, so they must have been 15. And they were saying, oh no, oh, you know Stacey, you know her from Selfies, you know her from Selfies. And it's like, no, she looks like that, but she actually looks like this. And this is the way that they were speaking about someone. And I was like, okay, so you're actually describing, like, this is how her Selfies look and this is how she looks. But they didn't see the problem in that disconnect. They just thought that's just a thing. It's like, oh, well, you look different in your selfies, and that's it.
And how is that different, though, from perhaps the way you spoke when you were 15 to your friends? I mean, is it different because they've got something to look at as well?
Well, I think that, I mean, I'm glad that Instagram wasn't about when I was 15. Like, I mean, I was very insecure as it was, never mind adding all this pressure. But really, like, I think that it's because with the algorithm, it's... When you are there, like, if you're there to, you know, take selfies and, like, you know, face tune your entire body and sell, like, to sell to a lot of different clothing companies, there's accounts for that, but that's not exactly what I do and a lot of people I follow do. I really recommend, like, going through who you're following and actually look and realize, like, you know, what kind of impact are they having on you? Is it healthy? Like, what are they, what do they stand for? And so I think that that's why it's so important that, like, yeah, of course it's a shop window and, like, the images are really edited and such, but what's frustrating is that when things like the algorithm is actually stealing our own creativity for people who joined that platform to showcase, like, you know, their passion for creating imagery or having a portal to just, like, you know, have an instantaneous connection with a group of people, which obviously stories, Instagram stories, has been great for.
But how does that all end up, though? Because presumably at some point or other, I mean, my kids have obviously got iPhones, they've got iPads. We had a thing yesterday talking about, you know, a cot that somebody's made that's actually got a place for an iPad in it. I'm wondering, I mean, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but you have to presumably start regulating it a bit, don't you?
Oh, definitely. There needs to be, like, I think that there needs to be disclaimers added about, like, basically to younger generations. I don't know, like, whether you should be, like, allowed to join it for a certain age, or there should be, like, some sort of restrictions, or just pushing the fact that these are heavily edited, because also the increase of, like, young women and men with eating disorders and getting a lot of plastic surgery at a very young age, and so many mental health issues. It's an epidemic.
You're absolutely right.
But that's where it starts to get tricky, isn't it? And I mean, where does it stop?
This is what Sherry and I talk about at length, that, you know, when you are looking across all of the social networks, you know, from Facebook, Instagram, right back to Twitter, the thing that really strikes me is that we're stuck in an age right now where, much like the kids in the 60s, and Mike, you're a smoker, that we are in a parallel situation.
I was a
smoker.
Oh,
you, have you done?
I
have
stopped,
you,
yeah.
Oh,
gave up 18
well
months
done.
Ago.
Congratulations. But what I am likening social media to is that time in the 60s where people were trying to say, you know, this is really bad for your health.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that evidence come through you know, with anxiety and suicide rates, and actually stress and anxiety links to cancer. And so there's a screed from the NHS coming through on the impact social media.
But you see, the trouble is, the trouble I find with that, Sherry, is that we get warned about stuff all the time now by the NHS. They're constantly telling us that you shouldn't do this. You know, one glass of red wine is okay, but don't have more than that. You know, don't smoke, obviously, but you can vape. And then next week it's don't vape because that might be bad for you. I think people have become immune to these warnings because they just don't believe them, or they don't care, or everything's so short term, it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, like, I think that that's about it's more about the younger generation, to be honest, that I'm concerned about. Because when I talk to people of a similar age to me, they're very much aware that, you know, of the advertisements and that how people's bodies and faces have been, like, manipulated to their idea of perfection.
Yeah.
But it's the younger generation who take it for granted.
Or think that it's real.
Oh, and think that it's real. So, and even take, like, there's a hair vitamin that literally has got so much money. Like, I mean, I get, as a person on social media, I hate the word influencer. It really, really makes me cringe. I've been in touch with this brand, like, every month for the past, like, 3 years. I don't know how much more I need to say no, but they literally have so much budget. And these are a £40 hair vitamin that is basically pushed across every social media influencer that I know.
Right.
And they've got so much money, but they don't work. And they're £40, and their main age demographic is girls from the ages of 11 to 17.
Sherry, you've just...
And they don't presumably care as long as you buy it.
You've just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think most of us take this with a pinch of salt. It's like everybody's become an Avon person online, you know?
And
actually, you know, Sherry, what I love about your career trajectory is that actually you've really made Instagram work for you, you know, and you've made it into a career for, and so people think that that's really easy, but actually there's a ton of work that goes into the background of that, and there's a ton of learning and lessons. But genuinely, I think a lot of people out there think that if you just post this, it will equate to me getting.
But as long as there's people like you, Sherry, then there'll be hundreds of other people trying to be you, won't there? I mean, isn't that part of the problem?
I don't think it's necessarily about trying to be you. I think that there's enough room in this industry for everyone. What really kind of gets me going is that, like, I just want people to actually take some social responsibility to what they're posting. Like, there's enough room and space on the internet for absolutely everyone to have their fair share. There's a lot of, like, this kind of blogger generation where it's like, you know, each caption is 20% off, blah, 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 like, with this code. And it's like, we're just basically raising this new generation of consumerism and false senses of reality. And it's a scary thing. So, like, I just like to make sure that I'm not doing that. In all my captions, I'm actually talking about something I care about or something that's been on my mind. And to start developing conversation. And so if I encourage more people to do that, then amazing.
Yeah, cool. Sherry, thank you very much indeed. Sherry Scott there, a Scottish blogger and entrepreneur. And I guess the problem is, though, I mean, see, somebody like me comes from the old media, you know, newspapers that used to be read by everybody. I mean, there was a time when I first used to work in America, you know, I could ring the newspaper office in London and tell them something had just happened in Florida that they didn't know about. You know, they didn't know it happened in Florida because they had no way of finding out unless somebody had actually written a piece for one of the wire services that they could read, or they, you know, there was no 24-hour news. I mean, CNN started when I was in America before the first Gulf War. It wasn't really there.
So you've seen so much change.
Yeah, and I find it really baffling that people will use something like Instagram as their kind of source
newsfeed.
Of information.
Yes.
Effectively.
But they do. And again, that is where the book came from, and the word algorithm and teasing that out and how it infiltrates every single thing that we do.
Yeah.
You know, your online and your offline world is starting to become one, and you get sucked into this sink. And exactly what Sherry was saying, that I think a lot of people are naive to the fact, or maybe they're not, that the feed is a selling tool. And we were talking about this in the last hour.
Yeah.
That, you know, data capture, every single one of us is a walking pound sign to advertising.
Right.
And
they're spending an awful lot of money on all of that stuff as well. So they must know something we don't know.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Let's go back to the phones as well. 0344 499 1000. John is in Glasgow. He's got a story for us. Hi, John.
Hi, mate. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I've only ever phoned the radio twice, and this is my second time.
Good.
Funny enough, the first time was about housing also.
Okay.
It just infuriates me. The last time was I spoke to Mike Dickin. That's how
my
long
goodness
ago,
me, that was a long time ago, radio. Yeah.
And he hung up me because I was slating Margaret Thatcher for selling off all the council.
Well, I mean, you are from Glasgow, so I'll accept that from you.
She sold off all the council homes and never built any.
That's right.
There was four and five, six children all in the one bedroom.
Yeah.
No chance of getting a house.
Right.
Well, anyway, another story. 2012, I've got four kids, and due to a marriage breakup, I ended up homeless. Well, basically, I was living with my parents for a few weeks. So after a couple of weeks, I got an appointment with the local housing office. Went up to the housing office thinking that there's a few houses that I saw that were empty. Adequate bedrooms, everything that I needed, didn't see a problem. I've worked all my days, didn't want benefits, just wanted to pay the rent, pay the council, pay my council tax, as I normally do. Got the appointment, pointed out the houses. She says, well, you're not effectively homeless because you're living with your parents.
Right.
She says, well, basically, if you had your kids with you and you checked into a homeless shelter, that would move it along. Now, no one in their right mind is going to take their kids.
I had a really, really similar process
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's on you go.
This is a killer, right? Now, as much as she said she didn't like it, she says, if you made yourself homeless and arranged it in such a way where you could get offered a house, if someone from Eastern at that time, it wasn't a primarily main subject. Immigration is what it is now, and it was only 6 years ago. It seems like a million years ago, but it was only 6 years ago. She says, if someone turns up at a police station with a bag from any other country in Europe or a migrant, they'll get the house before you.
Because technically they're homeless, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So what do you do for your own people?
That's really hard.
That's what I don't.
I have a really similar story. It was the same. I was going through my breakup. I had a then 3-year-old, and you think, right, okay, what do you do to get out of the situation?
Yeah.
None of us had a lot of money in the bank to go and rent another place.
Right.
But much like you have to get out of the situation that you're in. And the advice that I was given was, you need to take the child and you need to go to a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And I'm the same as you. I was like, well, you can't when you have a 3-year-old. But then again, the people giving me the advice were like, well, then you're not homeless.
Yeah.
So that's the difficult thing. So I absolutely hear what you're saying, but then also I can understand the advice given too. It's of course the system is broken.
It's like a lot of the systems in this country which don't work properly,
yeah.
John. What did you do in the end, John?
Well, we ended up, we were apart for about 6 months and we ended up reconciling, so...
Okay.
It was all good. It was all good in the end, but it just kind of raised my eyebrows a bit to see what it's like for people that...
needed to fall back on welfare.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised. Honestly, I was quite surprised at that time because I could see the homes. I actually wrote all the addresses down and some of the homes were still empty.
Yeah.
They were still empty months later. They were adequate, so I don't know what the problem is.
And these were homes that were... And were these homes that were owned by the council?
Yes, they're council homes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I was actually brought up in them.
Right.
Same homes that are still there. And I just don't... It's as if they're holding on to them.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
I don't know what the problem is.
Doesn't make any sense. John, listen, very interesting call. Thanks very much for making it. Don't leave it so long until you make your third call.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, Iceland's Christmas TV has been banned for being too political. We were talking about this just before the news. Apparently, because they've decided to announce that they're now banning all products that they make with palm oil, They're not going to use that anymore. Somehow, the Advertising Standards Authority has ruled that that's political, which seems a bit odd, doesn't it?
Well, actually, considering that the message is a good thing for the environment,
yeah,
and a good thing to kind of relay back into your customer base,
right?
I'm not a consumer watchdog, so I wouldn't know.
No. But would it make you shop at Iceland, perhaps?
I love Iceland.
Do you?
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can.
Well, no,
other supermarkets are, of course, available.
Yeah.
And they also do Christmas ads, which won't be bad for being too political.
No, exactly.
Sadly.
But I suppose that you then have to ask, why? Is it because Greenpeace is seen as a politically motivated...
Well, I suppose they are, aren't they?
Yes, but it's for good.
Yes. But I mean, there might be other people that don't think it's for good. Let's talk to Simon Gwynn, as a reporter at Campaign magazine, which is the Bible of the advertising business. Simon, a very good afternoon to you.
Hi, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining us. This is a bit unusual, isn't it, this particular ruling?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's a little bit complicated. So it's not actually the Advertising Standards Authority that's made this decision.
Okay.
There's two organisations that control what can go on TV. The other one's called Clearcast, which is actually controlled by the broadcasters like ITV, Channel 4 and so on.
Okay.
And they have made a kind of preemptive decision that if this did go on, that it might get banned. So they've said this isn't going to fit within the rules, so we're not going to show it. And the reason for that is because of its association with Greenpeace. So this film was originally made for Greenpeace, and Iceland had basically put their own message and their own brand at the end of it.
Right.
But had it originally been produced for Iceland and it had not had that association with Greenpeace, it may have actually been permitted to go on. So it is because of Greenpeace and their decision that Greenpeace maybe do one or two things that might cause problems for the ad regulation.
Is this more about their kind of sort of more guerrilla-like tactics, I suppose?
I think it may be. I haven't been able to get to the bottom of exactly the specific reasons that Greenpeace is kind of a prohibited political organisation.
Right.
But it's a pretty complicated situation, I'd imagine.
It is, yeah, because I see that Clearcast is saying that the ad's prohibited if it is, in quotes, directed towards a political end, which I don't think the banning of palm oil is particularly political, is it?
No, well, I think there's kind of two ways of looking at the issue around palm oil. One is just about consumer behaviour, and you could say that what Iceland is doing is not necessarily political. They're just trying to offer people who want it the ability to buy products that don't have that in, and the environmental damage that's sometimes associated with it.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at what Greenpeace does, Greenpeace is kind of an actively political organisation, and they do some things that are much more kind of fiery and controversial.
Right.
So you're saying that had Greenpeace not been involved, so maybe the discussions had been in back office,
yeah,
it would have been fine. It would have just been on air.
Yeah, it sounds like they kind of blundered.
Okay.
Possibly. There are other ads that go on TV that, kind of associate themselves with social environmental campaigns like this, sometimes quite hard-hitting, and that are allowed. And so I suspect that it's not the content of this ad necessarily. It's the fact that it's linked to Greenpeace, and there's some other kind of dodgy stuff that Clearcast have said, and we're not happy with that.
Yeah, because I suppose you wouldn't necessarily. I mean, it depends on how far you want to take this particular argument, I suppose. But you see these very emotive ads for Oxfam and for various different charities, Save the Children, water companies feeding families in Africa and all that kind of thing, which you might also argue has a political kind of point to it, but it's not really, I don't think anybody's going to be upset by watching it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything's political to some extent, isn't it? If you're telling people to go to your supermarket and buy turkey, then, you're encouraging the consumption of meat, which obviously vegetarians and vegans don't agree with. They might see that as a political decision. But I think it is about the way that Greenpeace operates in this case that has led to this decision.
There seems to be a little thing pricking my brain right now, which is we're in the middle of a kind of madman scenario, aren't we? Like Don Draper's going, if you don't like what they're saying, change the conversation.
Yes.
And so now we're talking about an ad that maybe we wouldn't have even watched or thought twice about.
Mm.
But because they've given us this piece of information, now we're chatting about it.
Yeah, as in you mean that Iceland have generated interest because of
this
decision? Yeah, well, I think I suspect that they may have had an inkling that they wouldn't be allowed to put this on TV. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it certainly worked out very well in terms of whipping up interest in it on social media. And it's probably, it's probably engaged with people to a much greater extent than it might have done if it had just been shown during Coronation Street.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know, I haven't actually checked to see if it's available on YouTube or on any other social media front, because presumably there's no regulation on that and they could show it there if they wanted.
Yeah, they certainly can. It's in terms of just posting a video on YouTube, that's not regulated by certainly Clearcast has nothing to do with that, but also the Advertising Standards Authority don't control that. They control areas where you're paying to have your content promoted, so you know that, which makes it advertising.
This actually makes me now think there was a thing in the news yesterday about ITV's ad budget going down.
There was about 8%, wasn't it?
Yeah, and because of the way that we consume now, and Mike, you've just hit the nail on the head that actually that ad can get placed in several different places where we can see it.
Sure.
But where we are traditionally seeing ads go doesn't necessarily matter now, does it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I suppose, Simon, you just want to put the ad where there's going to be lots of people seeing
it. An audience.
And if there's a big enough audience on YouTube, I mean, that must be terrifying some of the traditional TV companies.
I mean, certainly it is a cause for concern. But that said, TV is still, I think, for most advertisers, probably the most important medium. It still attracts the biggest audiences. It's still the only place where you can get, 5 million, 8 million, 10 million people watching something at the same time.
Yes.
Although ITV are expecting to have their advertising income going down a little bit, they're still bringing in huge quantities of money. And I think, had Iceland been able to get this on TV, they would have done so.
No, indeed. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we were talking earlier just about the whole advent of social media and the whole algorithm business that goes on, and how Facebook now is able to react so quickly to just something you've clicked on to throw up an ad for you that you didn't even know you wanted to look at, but had something to do with what you were interested in. I mean, is that not having an effect on the spend, at least the advertising spend from agencies, at least?
I think a lot of advertisers are moving more money into digital advertising, and what you're talking about, that's called programmatic, and that's where data that different platforms have picked up about the user means that they're able to automatically direct certain ads to them. The jury is still out a little bit on whether that's as effective as traditional forms, and part of the reason for that is because people find those ads annoying. They're not necessarily very engaging. I don't think the advertising industry has really come to a conclusion yet about what the what the best way to spend their budgets is.
Right. And will we see as much money being spent on Christmas ads as we always do? I mean, I was a bit confused earlier this year because I thought John Lewis put out a kind of a taster of a Christmas ad, did they not, with Elton John in it? Was that something I got completely wrong?
Did you just dream that up?
They're rumoured to be working with Elton John in their Christmas campaign, which is yet to launch.
Right. But I'm sure I saw a little clip of it. Wasn't there a sort of rogue clip doing the rounds a couple of months ago?
If there was, I didn't see it.
Come on, you work at Campaign, Simon, for heaven's sake.
I know. I'm obviously not doing my job there. But Elton John was in another ad campaign earlier this year. That was for Snickers.
All right. Yes, I've seen that. It wasn't that. It was something different to that.
John Lewis also, John Lewis rebranded themselves earlier this year to John Lewis and Partners.
Right.
Alongside
that was Wake shortly Road, before they announced that 99% of their profits had disappeared.
Terrifying.
Right?
around the same time, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did have a big budget TV ad that came out then, which was the school play of kids performing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
I don't know if.
Yes, I remember seeing that and thinking this is like a Christmas TV ad, so why are they doing it now?
How much TV are you both watching? This is going way over my head. I'm like, nope, haven't seen
that. Well, if I'm perfectly honest, I don't watch a great deal of traditional TV myself. I watch a lot of catch-up, along with things like Netflix. Right. So I don't always see these ads on TV, actually.
Yeah, I think you should consider getting yourself a different job, Simon, to be honest, because you are working for the Bible of the advertising industry. And I mean, I hope your boss isn't listening to this conversation.
I couldn't comment on that.
No, of course not. Of course. So who's, I mean, have you had any kind of sort of tips? Do you get tips at campaign as to who's, you know, whose ad is coming out when? Well, presumably they'll start coming out pretty soon, won't they?
Yes, so we have heard something about John Lewis's Christmas ads, right. and I certainly can't say anything about that.
Of course
not. But they do have a Christmas ad coming out. They've just put out their Waitrose Christmas campaign today.
Okay.
And so the one that I was just talking about, the school play of Bohemian Rhapsody, that was a joint campaign for John Lewis and Waitrose.
Okay.
They've just put out a Christmas campaign for Waitrose. We've also had Tesco earlier this week, right. Debenhams, Boots. There's been loads and loads coming out. But one thing that we have noticed is that at Marks & Spencer as well, most of these retail brands, it seems to be a little bit more low key than some of the big kind of grandiose things we've seen in the past, and that probably reflects how difficult they're all finding business at the moment.
Yes, no,
the
indeed.
The high street is not
in a good place at all. And who was that? Do you remember that one? Was it last year? There was the sort of the Naughty Nomad or something by one of the big brands. I can't remember who it was, but they got into all sorts of trouble because it was a sort of a rude gnome, if you like, in all sorts of different positions.
That was Poundland, I believe.
That was Poundland, that's right, yeah. It was very funny.
The cheeky elf,
who was in all sorts of...
Certainly an opinion split to that one, wasn't it, yeah.
It was, yeah, but I wonder whether anyone's going to do that this year. But Simon, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Simon Gwynn there, reporter at Campaign Magazine.
The 2018 Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
That's right. Each Friday, we cast our ears back over the past 7 days, so of the so-called Independent Republic of Mike Graham, and choose our favourite moments.
Yes.
So, for the first time, I, Lynn McCrossan, will be dishing out these awards on behalf of Katy Perrier. So let's see who has won this week. As is tradition, the first Perrier goes to Mr. Mike Graham.
Excellent.
He wins for DJ of the Week for his comments as we played American Idiot by Green Day.
I thought they might be playing American Idiot. I don't know why I said that, really. You know, there are so many things you say on the radio because I'm here all the time. It's all I do is talk into a microphone. I knew it was American Idiot. I've got the album. I've got the live version of it. I play it all the time.
You're down with the kids.
Well, they're not even kids anymore.
No,
I mean, Green
really
Day
not.
Are like nearly as old as I am.
Yeah,
and one of the singers has gone mad.
Has he?
Yeah, but I can't talk about that, obviously.
No, okay.
I'll get in trouble.
But we get the next one.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Alex Retham from the Charlotte Group of Restaurants was a guest on the show this week, and he won for most interesting noise.
A very basic menu with X number of pizzas and just a couple of salads, but not pizza, you know, pasta and salad and all this kind of other extra stuff.
I've forgotten about that. He was great, that guy.
Can we play that again? Is that possible? What is that noise?
Yeah, do it again.
A very basic menu with X number of pizzas and just a couple of salads, but not pizza, you know, pasta and salad and all this kind of other extra stuff.
I didn't notice that at the time. I think he was kind of trying to go yada, 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 but sort of lost control of his tongue.
That was the most wonderful noise.
That was great, wasn't it? He's got a great thing going, in fact, talking about High Street. He had amazing sounding sort of three restaurants out in sort of West London, Ealing, Chiswick, that kind of thing. So I vowed to go there at some point.
And hopefully he'll make that noise.
Indeed.
Okay, next.
What's
one
next?
Then. Caller Carlos swoops the gong for response of the week.
So they put all sorts of rubbish on there because the news cycle is so quick now, right? And they have to keep changing the news cycle. And so it's an absolute boon for people who want to get a message across. And Al Sharpton's one of them.
Yeah.
He was literally stunned into silence by my incredible knowledge.
I haven't heard this, obviously.
No.
So that was a very genuine. I am sorry if I've burst anybody's eardrums over laughing as loudly as
that's
I have.
That's very good, that one.
So he just...
It literally didn't have anything to say. There was nothing to add.
Oh, wow.
Mm. There should be a button you can press, shouldn't there?
Like
one of the X Factor, where it just either goes or something, so indicating you're not going to say anything.
Yes, I decline to talk.
Yes.
Okay,
next.
So Noel's you again, Mike.
Good.
So we all know that you are very well travelled and very intelligent, also
indeed.
Handsome.
Thank you.
You know?
You can come back anytime.
Exactly. Oh, so there's no surprise that you've won the award for a bilingualist of the week.
Bilinguist of the week.
Yeah,
there you
thank
go.
You.
You know, nobody ever said, Sean, that, you know, here's the guillotine that comes down, and you pardon my French pronunciation of guillotine, I'm sure. Here's the guillotine that comes down, and that's the end of that. Yeah, well, you know,
listen,
we are nothing if not Europeans. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you said, what was
guillotine.
It? Guillotine.
Which is the correct pronunciation if you pronounce the two L's in French as a Y.
Wrong.
Eh?
If you pronounce it wrong.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I thought you were saying I was wrong.
No.
Blimey. Well, I haven't had that much this week. Dawn's been away. She normally slaps me around.
You did look a little shocked there.
I was shocked.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, well,
I've got out of the habit.
Of being abused.
Told off, yes, exactly.
Well, maybe she should get back here.
She'll be back next week.
That's good. Okay, the next one up then. Where are we? I'm having too much fun. Tory MP David joined Mike this week, and he won for clarification of the week.
The British Dental Association have said that the tests are only accurate to within 4 years. So basically, they are accurate to within 4 years.
These are the kind of people running the country. This is why they're doing it.
That was beautiful.
Very good.
That was really beautiful.
It's good to have those things explained by a professional.
Well, every 4 years. So, Mike, you also win the award for Best Wake Up Call this week and Reality Check, which was given to you by Katy Perry.
Okay.
But I thought that had stopped ages ago. No. I'm in a dream world when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, I'm afraid you are.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Matt... she didn't realise. Now she does.
In a dream world. Mm. Okay, right. So, next up, I'm enjoying this,
actually.
It's
good, isn't it?
It's good fun. I just get to laugh at other people's mistakes.
Indeed.
You're
in too late to be included. You might be in next week.
Bilinguist,
though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And whilst we were talking about Katy, it would be only fair to give her an award. She takes the crown from Dawn for most professional moment.
I do worry about the fact that he honestly does seem to believe an apple a day will keep the doctor away. And it absolutely will not. You know, people get sick because they don't expect to get sick. They don't get sick on purpose. Yeah, of course, some people get sick. She was so apologetic as well. She's like, I'm so sorry. Phones were always going off in
and
here.
You were really getting into that.
I was.
You were in your full stride.
Well, this was the ridiculous story from the health secretary this week, who basically said that all employers should provide apples and fruit to their employees to make sure that they're healthy enough to come to work. Like, that's going to change anything.
Well, that's a nice thing to do. But
well,
it's a nice thing
to do. But, you know, when I worked at the Daily Express, they decided to bring a load of fruit in, and all they got was fruit flies.
Oh.
And they couldn't get rid of them.
That's because you guys like to drink.
Well, it was nothing to do with me. But I can tell you, there were other people there that liked to drink. That's true.
Yes. Mm. So the fruit flies were a massive problem inside the paper.
They were. I think they've now knocked the building down. So they couldn't get rid of them.
It's over
across the street.
It's really difficult to get rid of them. Right, let's get the next one
up.
Another one for you, Mike. Mm. You win correction of the week. For this time, you spoke to lovely Susan in Exeter.
Lovely, thank you for jollying us all up on this grey Monday morning.
Well, it's meant to be grey on bonfire night, isn't it?
Oh, it's just miserable. Well, you're all fired up on four cylinders, both of you, which is brilliant. You're
six,
keeping
I think
us
you're
all... fine. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Well, six cylinders better than four cylinders.
Hold on here.
Hang on, she burped at me today. I mean, I think she's crossed the line.
That's,
to be honest,
that's,
I've got off her in a massive way.
That's the sign of an affectionate
lady. Do you think?
Really? Yeah, she feels comfortable
with you.
You've
been in Scotland too long.
Listen, if I'm burping in front of you, that means that we're on like the third date.
Okay, I'll take that as read.
Okay.
Go on then. Next.
Well, this is the final one.
Oh.
An old favourite. This is impression of the week. Are you ready for this?
I am.
So this is when we're doing a take on a cash register. Do you remember this?
No. Because they're getting paid more money and because it's almost like a pay-per-play type situation.
It is,
when
exactly
you,
right.
You know, here's somebody else walking through the door who's going to make me another
cha-ching.
$5,000. Ka-ching. That's horrible, isn't it? Pathetic.
You guys could have your own sound effects. You don't have to
Yeah, well,
them.
They may come to that soon, you know, when the new budgets are rolled out. This we'll be making all of it. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. So basically, you just take the mickey out of yourself on a Friday for all the problematic words.
Of course.
Words
but I always win an award, which I don't care what I win an award for, as long as I'm winning something.
What is it?
Well, it's sort of a play on what used to be the Perrier.
You had to get something.
The Perrier Awards. No, it's a virtual award.
Oh.
You know, because as we were saying, everything's virtual now. You don't actually get to experience anything.
Not even a wee sweetie.
No, not even. Well,
come on.
Not even a wee sweetie.
That's
no.
mean.
No, I know it is. Anyway, more of that coming next week.
The 2018 Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.